Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
To Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. And our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. And this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. And our guests work in various professions and are at different stages of their career. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your business career questions. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. And this will take you directly to our archive page, and that is where you can view the list of our past guests. You can also download our free app for your Android and iPhone and listen to any of the other exciting informative shows too. Just download the app from the homepage on the LA Talk Radio website. It's located towards the bottom of the page, so you just got to scroll down a little bit. And also, just to let you know, our shows are available for download on iTunes, and all that's under the podcast section, and also on Stitcher.com. So just go to the website and type Question Reality Radio in the search box if you want to find out about our future guests. Keep in mind, we're booked 6 months to a year in advance, so anyone that wants to come on the show, if you're working professionally or you know someone who's working professionally, go to our website, the official website, not latalkradio.com. That's the radio station website, questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and go to the contact page and send in why you want to come on the show and include your website and a brief bio, and someone will get back to you. Now, we have wonderful guests. You know you love our guests. We get emails and we get all kinds of good stuff after we have a guest on the show. And today is no exception. We have three little hotties over here. Little hot stuffies over here. So excited. I got lots of emails once we announced they were coming on the show, and I did collect five questions. Now, of course, there were like 27, but we can only do five because I have lots of other questions that we got to get through. So the lucky five, you will hear your question coming up. So without further ado, let me tell you who is on the show today. First, we're going to start with Allie. I hope I pronounce her last name right. Eisenman.
Yep.
Yeah. Allie Eisenman and Christine Moore. And I have never heard this name. I'm going to have to ask her, is this a real name or is this a stage name? It is the most terrific name. It's called she's called Puppet Happens. Now, come on. That is a 60s name for sure. If that's her real name, her mother is having fun having her and deciding the name. Now, Allie Eisenman is a producer and co-creator of, Allie Eisenman, Christine Moore, and Puppet Happens. They're all associated with the project. Allie is the producer, co-creator, and Christine Moore is the producer and co-creator, and Puppet Happens. I'm going to be saying this.
Just Puppet. I'm just going to step in for 2 seconds.
Yes.
I only happens on Facebook.
Oh, God. Uh-oh. All right, Puppet. So it's like Cher, Madonna, Puppet.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, we're going to be discussing their latest film project. It's entitled Wedlock, and this is a dark comedy that deals with marriage equality through the lens of divorce inequality. And they're also going to provide a lot of must-have career tips and advice on how to pursue your dream in show business. So there's lots of action and excitement. So without further ado, welcome, Allie, Christine, and Puppet.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be here.
Am I a little too high energy for you guys?
Your enthusiasm is contagious. It's delightful.
I'm from the East Coast. We're all crazy over there. We come out to LA and people are like, what's wrong with her? Is she from the East Coast?
She's alive.
Yes, I am. Now, we are also going to be asking a couple of real, actually, we're going to be asking a lot of questions, but just to give you an idea, so you stay tuned and don't go anywhere, because I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
And we appreciate you listening.
That's right. I hope you're listening instead of staring at a TV with men running back and forth on a field throwing a ball.
Yeah, but okay. If you're listening live, I assume you love sports as much as I do.
That's right. My God, I never got football, but okay. So Albert tells me, oh, the score's 7-0. I don't know what the hell that means. It sounds like one team's losing, though, but all right. Now, some of the questions we're going to answer for you today are, what are some pet peeves directors, I think Puppet's going to answer that, what are some pet peeves directors have about actors at auditions and on the set? We're going to ask what positive things actors can do to make themselves more memorable to the director without being on the casting couch, of course.
Right,
Potter. I know it still does out there.
Shortcut.
What steps can actors, directors, and producers take to build a successful career? And we got tons of other questions. And then also keep in mind, we are going to ask 5 of the email questions that came in. So I just want to point out that this movie, Wedlock, was written by, I believe it's Guinevere Turner. And let's start off with Wedlock, the movie. What is this movie about, Wedlocked? Well, like gridlock?
So wedlock is actually a term that's used to describe a situation that unfortunately a lot of people are stuck in right now. Where we're at with the struggle for marriage equality, most of the country now is only about...
Yeah, basically 30% of the United States still legally don't recognize marriage. A lot of people are aware of that, but they don't realize that that also affects divorce. Because supposing you were married you can fly to Massachusetts to get married, or maybe you lived in Massachusetts at the time, but now if you are a same-sex couple who lives in a state that doesn't legally recognize marriage, like Texas, if you live in Austin, Texas, you cannot get a divorce there. Mm-hmm. Texas won't divorce you because they don't recognize your marriage, but you can't fly back to Massachusetts just to get a divorce because every state has residency requirements before they will grant you a divorce. So, for instance, in Massachusetts, it's 12 months. You would have to live in Massachusetts for an entire year before Massachusetts would divorce you.
Uprooting your whole life. You know, if you have kids, a job, like many people do, it's no easy task.
They don't honor the annulment process. Like, here, you go to Vegas, you get a stripper,
not necessarily an annulment. If you were actually married, you might have a house and a kid together and everything, but so many marriages end in divorce for whatever reason. And so if you legitimately need a divorce, not just an annulment, you can't get it unless one partner relocates to a state that legally recognizes gay marriage for whatever amount of time that state has.
Usually 6 months to a year.
Wow. Yeah. And what are the states that are currently allowing same-sex marriage? Pop it.
It's quite a long list.
Oh, by the way, girls, luckily, when you talk, announce yourself so people can adore you from afar.
This is Puppet. Hello, people. The list keeps growing, and it's hard to keep track of. We actually comment on that in a funny way in the film, so hopefully you'll watch it. But a short list, I'd say California, luckily, re-legalized gay marriage in 2013, which is awesome.
Yay, CA.
Yay, getting rid of Prop 8. And Pennsylvania joined the list recently, and that's exciting. I know Texas was sort of debating what to do recently, but I don't think that it was good news. And so... I don't know.
So just a couple states. I think Vermont, maybe?
Yeah, well, yeah, we were Vermont, our home state as well.
Maryland.
Yeah,
Maryland.
Oh, are you girls from Maryland? I went to college in Maryland. Oh. Towson State.
Yes. Nice.
Woo! So, where are you from?
Yeah, East Coasters.
We are from, Ali and I are sisters.
Your sisters?
Secret trivia fact.
Are you
ding, ding, ding.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And we grew up in Durwood, a suburb of Rockville, Maryland.
Oh, near D.C.
Yes. Exactly, right outside
D.C. So, actually, interesting tidbit. Washington, D.C. is the gay prenup. Is that
prenup,
what it's called?
Prenup, yes. Because the gay prenup.
That is the only place in the country where the only prerequisite to getting divorced there is having gotten married there. So, gay couples... should get married there if they want to guarantee the ability to get divorced. Very romantic.
Now, nothing says romance like guaranteed divorce.
Now, I have a question. You guys worked so hard to legalize gay marriage. What's the percentage? And I know you don't know specific facts, and I didn't look them up. This question just popped in my head. Working so hard for gay marriage, what now is the percentage of people that are getting divorced? Because you fight, you fight, you fight to get legalized marriage, and now is the divorce rate as high as heterosexual couples? Is it on the rise, or what's the scoop on that?
I believe it's comparable to heterosexual couples. The thing that skews that is that when it becomes legal in a state, there's a huge influx of people that have been waiting, so it's hard to really get a feel for what those numbers are until it's been legal for a while. Same thing with the marriages. There's a vast number of people that get married that wouldn't if it had already been legal for a while. So it's kind of hard to know.
Now, I know in 2013, I was actually with my friend Rosser Goodman over at Paramount, had a studio satellite office on Paramount on the lot. So she was the one to give me the good news. But what she said was that you don't have the same conditions like with insurance, and you don't have the same things, the same insurance and what else
benefits.
Is it benefits thank yeah. you you don't have the same have they changed that since 2013 have they added the list of
you mean despite getting a marriage?
Yes, because
I think it was sort of a tiered, I think it was like, you know, over a period of time certain rights were getting added, but I actually I'm not totally sure.
But eventually, though, hopefully. Yeah. Well, hopefully, you fought so hard to get the marriage, so I think that you should prove that you can stay longer than the crazy heterosexuals who get crazy-ass men get
married.
Well,
that's sort of why we're making this film, because the fight isn't just the happy, shiny side. You know, equality, it's not equal until all the laws are equal, until we have all the same... you know,
right.
allowances and things as everyone, just across the board. So.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like, I know there's something where with property and the benefits and you can't do this and this, and there was a whole bunch of, a whole list. Now, I had read on the website that you guys are launching Seed and Spark crowdfunding, a campaign shortly.
Yes.
Now, I've heard, of course, of Seed. What's Spark? Now, I actually have never heard of Spark crowdfunding. What the hell is that?
Well, Seed and Spark is the name of the website that we're using.
Oh, is that a crowdfunding site? Oh,
exactly.
I've never heard of that.
It's a film-specific one.
Oh, that see that, people? We've already got our first piece of information. I, who have hundreds of people on crowdfunding, I've never heard of Spark. What is it, spark.com?
Seed and Spark. I actually met the CEO, Emily Best, and her crowdfunding partner, Erica, and I met them at a Women in Entertainment event that Allie and I are part of. And so it was just happenstance. We were talking. They asked what I was doing. I told them about my movie, and then they said, we raised money on this site for movies. So
is this a new site? Because I've never heard of it. Or is it a specific
new, it's new-ish.
Newer,
it's a few years
niche.
Old, but they're getting like recognition pretty quickly. They've had...
They're growing.
Is this for all types of movies, or is this within the L... Wait a minute. I'm going to get this right. L, G, B, LGBTQ community.
There's no right. It's just like a...
I always transfer. You know, I get the letters mixed up all the time.
In America, there's an extra Q, and in Canada, there's an extra T. So you could just do like a LGBTQIAHS, etc. I like the XYZ community.
So this website is open to all types of crowdfunding.
Yes, it's just a film-specific crowdfunding website. And it's actually designed in a really interesting way, where unlike Kickstarter and Indiegogo, the more like I think recognizable names of crowdfunding, which you know some films go on there, but they're also you know any type of project can go on there. Seed and Spark is very interesting for I think film interested backers because you don't just have your incentive levels. Like if you you know they have those too, where like oh donate $25 and you can get this great perk,
the donation perks,
which by the way, like one of our perks that we will be doing for Wedlocked that I think will be at the $25 level will be you can get your divorce invitation with a same-sex celebrity of your choice
and we'll like,
design it for you.
You can send all of your family and friends.
And you can have a divorce party too. That should be a perk.
But what separates Seed and Spark is that you can also specifically see the movie's film wish list. So you can see, oh, if I donate this amount, I can pay for craft services for a day, or I can get them this many lights. I can contribute to the makeup designer's salary. You can specifically choose where your donation is going. And also, if you are someone who can donate in-kind goods instead of just the money, you could, for instance, say, like, oh, I will actually donate this equipment that is on your wish list instead of just donating the money for our budget.
It's really great to get people personally invested in a project.
Oh, yeah.
It's
That's wonderful. What I did for my short film Fraction. I just broke it down. I said, you're going to be in charge of hiring, paying for the editor. You're going to be in charge of the costumes. And people love that. Mm-hmm. And it's really great because I got them excited about giving me money, thousands of dollars, because they were going to be in charge of their own department.
Oh, yeah.
And these were people who weren't in the film business. So they were all excited.
Oh, it's super exciting.
They loved
inspiring.
It.
Yeah.
That's a very good way. Now, I assume if you're going to be launching the Seed and Spark crowdfunding, you have not done the movie yet?
No, we have not shot
it. We're in development.
Yeah, we're in development currently.
All right. Now, what was the inspiration for this movie? Now, I know
Guinevere Turner.
Guinevere is not here, and she's the writer, but...
So Allie and I are the story creators, and we actually approached Guinevere and asked her if she would be interested in writing it. For those of you who don't know the name, you may recognize some of the projects she's worked on. Guinevere Turner is the writer of several episodes of The L Word, the movie Go Fish, and American Psycho.
The screenplay adaptation of American Psycho.
Yes.
I love that.
One of my favorite films.
Was that my hottie Christian Bale?
Yes. Beautiful work.
Lord have mercy. Yes, he is beautiful.
And his work.
I just say he is beautiful. So what was the inspiration for the movie? Was it again the marriage? You want to get the point out about?
So Christine and I met at a different networking event. Yeah. And I was telling her about some friends I have in Pennsylvania. At the time, Pennsylvania did not recognize gay weddings yet. And so I was telling her that these friends who are stuck in these marriages, one of them had a kid involved, the other one has just been going on like 10 years of not being able to get divorced. And she said, that's crazy. I know so many things about the LGBT community. I thought I would know that. If I don't know that, that's crazy. This should be a movie. And I said, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you
Let's
go.
Let's do it.
And it was born. Now, what do you hope is the most important message within the movie? What do you want people to walk away from? Like, just one thought.
Well, we want to draw attention to the absurdity of the laws that are in place, basically, right now. And that's why we're going about it in a farcical comedy sort of a way to show how ridiculous the current situation is. So I think that would
be... And that's a great way to do it as a comedy, because it's not so heavy.
Exactly. It's getting some really serious issues across, but in a very approachable, hopefully entertaining way.
Dark comedies. Yeah. I love them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is this your first film project together? And we'll start with Allie and then Christine. Well, Allie can answer.
I guess the answer, if the question is all of us together, then it's going to be the same answer.
Yeah, it is. It is. Is this the first time all three of you have worked together?
That would be kind of weird if we all had different answers to that question.
In another life, I've worked with both of them, yes.
So it's the first time. Obviously, you two are sisters. You must have worked on Allie and
I've
and
never
Puppet.
Seen her before. Allie
and
crazy.
Allie and Puppet, have you worked together on projects before?
We yes. have.
We have, actually. Yes. We produced and acted in a spoof recap of the season one of Orange is the New Black, which is currently on the festival circuit. We've been accepted into three festivals internationally.
It's also on YouTube.
And it's also on YouTube. If you look up Prison is the New Popular, it's under a series called Episodic.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It involves a large chicken suit.
Enjoy. Oh, my God. I had a damn chicken on my... I had to do it... Oh, I've done many scenes. We won't get into my weird fetishes that they cast me for, but all right. there was a chicken involved. Now, let's get some of the names of the actors. So what are... Do you know... You've cast already or no?
No.
You don't
know? We're in very early development with this. We don't have a list. We do have a wish list.
A wish list.
I don't know that we should.
Yeah, we're not going
to. Don't do that. Then the actors will feel all bummed out if they don't get. Okay. So other than your first and second profession in the entertainment industry, so because I know you're actor, producer, all of you, you know, you're multi-hyphenated is what we are out here. What would be the third career choice on a film project and why? So like script supervisor.
Oh, you mean on set specifically?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. I was to say, what's coming to mind first, I can't for whatever, this is Allie. for what's coming to mind first, I can't think of the actual official title for some reason, but I love just finding content, like stories that need to be told that aren't getting the attention yet and bringing them in, but that's not, you know, obviously a role
development.
On set. Development, yeah. Mm. Content development, that kind of a thing. But on set, I would say probably something in the art department.
Yeah, I'd like to so put much fun. Makeup. Makeup on the star. Makeup on the hot actors. Yeah. What about you, Christine?
Ooh, maybe location scouting. Mm. That'd be fun.
Can I piggyback on that? I want to spell that.
We're adding that to Allie's wish list.
I mean, I just produced my first feature film, June Adrift. It's June like the month, comma, adrift like a boat. And on that, I was a writer, producer, actor. But because it was our first feature that we were producing, we sort of wore a lot of different hats. So I got to do a little bit dip my fingers into many pots, one of which was location scouting. And I kind of liked that for a number of reasons. One, you know, you get to be active, go out, explore, meet people. Also, it like turns on my sort of lateral thinking, my lateral thinking part of my brain, where I get to think, oh, well, you know, this doesn't look like, you know, this isn't appropriate the way it looks right now, but what could it be? What could it potentially be used for?
Right.
And also your networking skills of like, oh, well, who do I know that has this kind of thing? So I don't know. It engaged a lot of different parts of my brain.
Fun problem very solving. Interesting.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Puppet?
Well, so if my first two are directing acting, which they are, then the third part of the hyphen, I actually work on set a lot as a DIT/assistant editor on location.
And explain what that is, DIT. Some people don't know.
Nobody knows. It's digital imaging technician.
It's true.
And it's a new job that exists only because we've gone digital. So we haven't quite figured out what it means yet.
Yeah.
But
something related to CGI.
Oftentimes, it's attributed to the camera department. And if there's no DIT, a second AC will do media management and dumping media onto a hard drive. But a dedicated DIT will be in charge of talking to the DP if something's out of focus, making sure that the film has the same look throughout, sort of testing different coloring things on set, make sure that it's coming out the way you want. If anything's sort of like lit too hot, any problems like that with how the image is coming out. And then as an on-set editor, assistant editor, I'll be prepping all of the data for the editor and getting it organized in a way that's ready to just go.
Man, that sounds technical. Woo, that's an organized mind right there. Now, I don't know where my sister came out with this English question. Okay, I'm going to try to translate this. Okay, what did you, oh Lord, work it out. What are you all doing? Okay, I know what she's saying. Okay, what are you all doing as a team to get your seed funding, angel investors, social media, and crowdfunding campaigns?
Well, we're doing some radio interviews.
She shot that alley Eisenman.
Yeah. So we're just starting this process. We haven't actually launched the campaign yet. We're right now, we've started working with Seed and Spark. Another thing about Seed and Spark is, unlike Kickstarter and Indiegogo, they actually have to approve of your project and campaign before they launch it. And they work with you a little more hands-on. Like they have a specific social media schedule that they recommend you follow, and they, you know, help watch your pitch video to make sure it's something that they want to launch. So
it's
been a very helpful process. Also overwhelming and intimidating. But I will tell you that one of the things that we are hoping to do, inspired by this reach out, is partner with some LGBT organizations and maybe, you know, find, because I think that one of the important things for crowdfunding is, obviously, you have your friends and family who support you, and then the next tier of people who will support your project are going to be people who are interested in the niche topic of your film, whatever community that appeals to.
It's reaching out to your audience, getting them to know that you exist.
So I know you got your website, because I visited your website, and you got your crowdfunding. Now your Twitter and your Facebook, I think you got that
we've
all
got
set
social
up.
Media.
Yeah.
Set
oh,
up.
And exactly. we should tell your listeners, I think in the email that went out, the link to the website was not working if you clicked on it directly. But if you copy and paste it, wedlockthemovie.com, it will take you there still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are your addresses for Twitter and Facebook?
So Facebook's going to be like the website. It's going to be facebook.com/wedlockthemovie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Twitter is going to be @wedlocked_movie.
And in case it's difficult to hear on the radio, when we're saying wedlocked, it is with an ED at the end, not just ending in a K.
Oh, yeah. Wedlocked. All right. What has been the overall reaction to the film from within the LGBTQ community as far as talking about it and saying, hey, this is what we're doing? Go.
Well, it's actually been very warm so far. We've had people that are very excited whenever we talk to anyone about what we're doing. And there's been a lot of moments of like, wait, really? What's going on? So people even within the community, again, it's not something that's being discussed as widely as we feel that it needs to be. So we're very lucky.
People, it's been a range of people who didn't know it was an issue being surprised and interested in it. And then people who have been trying to get divorced and are really excited that someone's finally making a movie about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is it going to be a lot of tips? And now I just realized that I wanted to briefly give a little description about what the movie's about, because just to be succinct about it, it's a dark comedy that deals with marriage equality through the lens of divorce and equality, inspired by true stories. And it follows Sydney as she is forced to make the decision between remaining in a state of loveless marriage or to move away from her son and job to a state that recognizes marriage equality in order to fulfill residency requirements for a divorce. That's is that accurate?
Yes.
So it's about, there is really a Sydney. There's,
yes. Well, they're not with that name. Names have been changed.
Right,
yes.
Right.
And for the topic of the movie, because we're turning it into a farce, we are changing the tactics that Sydney uses to try to make this divorce happen. So rather than just tell the story as people actually who are friends that we actually know that are trapped in these marriages, we sort of follow Sydney as she tries to pull whatever hijinks possible to get everybody involved to relocate with her out of state.
All right. Now, are you addressing the movie being about Sydney, since it was just marriage was just legal? I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not knowledgeable about this, but since, to the best of my knowledge, marriage was legalized 2013, and this says it's a loveless marriage. Are do you feel that rushing to divorce, is it going right to divorce, or are same-sex marriages, are they going to marriage counselors? Are they giving it a chance? Or because it's only been like almost 2 years, so
we're not,
why?
The film's not set in California. This is a overall sort of country story, like countrywide rather story.
So there are states where people have been married longer.
Yeah.
Longer. Okay.
Yes.
And also keep in mind, people have been together for a lot longer as well.
They weren't able to get married for a while. So there's couples who've been together for already 25 years before.
Yeah. Sometimes you can be together like 25, 30 years. As soon as you get married, that's it. Something happens with that paper. No. It drives people crazy and they feel they got to get divorced. I don't know what it is.
Random tidbit. I actually filmed the mayor officiating the first wedding here, July 2013.
Oh, cool!
So
that's puppet speaking.
Puppet witness. This is puppet here. I was working in the video department for former mayor, LA Mayor Villaraigosa, and we were on a final farewell tour when Prop 8 was lifted, and there was a stay period between when it was lifted and when marriages could take place. They lifted the stay period. We added in a wedding to the schedule, and I went and filmed him officiating that.
Oh my god, that's cool. Yeah. Can we see that on YouTube, or did they film it, or
yes, I mean you can see different, it was also on the news, there's lots of different footage. So
oh my gosh, I gotta look that up. Hey, all right, Mike, what is your plan to get the film distributed? Have you thought that far? Or
sorry, this is Christine, I just had wanted to add to your last question, because you were asking about when same-sex marriage was legalized. I believe the first state to legalize same-sex marriage was Massachusetts, and that was in 2004. So in May.
Oh,
so yes. That'll be 11 years ago.
Oh,
this May.
Wow. Thank you for that. See, you learn something new every day. Now, I don't know if you've thought this far, but are you at the point where you're thinking about getting distribution? And if so, what are your plans?
Well, we're looking, we're hoping to get some video on demand distribution, as well as hopefully take this on the festival circuit, gain some interest. And
I'm a screener at the Burbank Film Festival.
Good to know. Thank you. But yeah, we're looking, honestly, we'd love to make this a feature at some point. So this is sort of a calling card for that to gain interest, but it is also its standalone project as well. So we want to educate people with it. It's more important for us to get this message out as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt that doing a short would be a little more accessible at first.
Yeah, and less expensive.
Yeah.
Well, and it's definitely standalone, as Ali said, because actually the genre changes a little bit when we go from the short to the feature.
Definitely.
We have a different idea for what to do.
Now, as far as distribution, are there any film studios or production companies that have built a solid reputation in the LGBTQ community that you can give credit to for their top quality productions?
That's a great question.
You said productions?
Either a film studio or production companies that have built a solid reputation in the LGBTQ community?
I actually know, this is funny, but Steakhouse Productions actually has quite a number of great LGBTQ films if you go to their website. But we also are hoping to talk to them.
So if you're listening.
Yeah.
Email us back.
That's right. Now, I want to get to the email questions so we can cover that. And then we're going to do career questions. Again, we had 27 email questions for the ladies, but I just chose 5, and I tried to choose from across the country where they were from. So, make sure when you send in your questions, please make sure that you let me know where you're sending the email from, because I choose the email questions based on where you're located. I like to do cross country, not all California, blah, blah. Okay, so the first question comes from Portia from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And she said, Puppet, as a director, what advice can you give actors to make themselves more memorable overall? And again, thank you, Portia, so much for sending that question. Go ahead, Puppet.
So we actually got an email recently from an actress that was really interested in our film and wanted to just, you know, say, I don't know if you already cast, but if you haven't, I'm interested. And it's really great from this side of the table to know when people are authentically interested in your project. So, you know, don't do that for everything. Just when you find something that is that movie for you, go ahead and tell the team, like, that you care about what they're, what the story they're telling, and it connects with you on a personal level, because it can make the difference. I feel, you know, there's good memorable and bad memorable.
I feel yes, like, I want both, yeah. Puppet. I want both.
So I think one of your other questions, I don't know if you want to do it separately or not.
Yeah, separately.
Okay. So just, I'll get to bad memorable.
So good, good. That's good memorable. What's bad memorable? Just give me bad memorable.
So I had an actor show up to an audition smelling like whiskey and acting like whiskey. And I just don't recommend that. Yeah, it was.
It could have been cheap perfume. In her defense,
no.
I don't
but this was a man. Okay. And it was difficult to breathe.
Yeah, yeah. That, another thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because I am, as you can smell, I am loving my ass some perfume. I have like 24, 25 bottles of perfume, and I'm gonna wear my perfume. But I do know, because I have lots of casting director friends, and they say, Priscilla, please tell the actors not to wear heavy perfume in the auditions. And I'm like, well, I can't say that, because then I'm going to be a hypocrite. So
what? Yeah, I'll say it.
No, yes, but it's not just the smell. I mean, he was very drunk, and I didn't really know what to do.
Well, that's common sense, though. Yeah. Nobody comes to an audition drunk. But,
so it showed in his performance.
Yeah, crazy. Yes. Unless he thought he was coming in character and it was a part of the... But then you still don't come. But, you know, he might be a method actor. Okay, so
The role was not a drunk role. But,
but overall, but no alcohol. Going you know what, yeah, overall. Okay, next question comes from Brenda from Santa Monica, locally. Thank you, Brenda. And this question is for Allie. She says, Allie, if you hire a casting director for your projects, what percentage of the time are you happy with their final choices? If you're not, what do you do?
Well, I am happy about 52.7% of the time. I think that would be an accurate number. No, I honestly, like, I actually love... love the way the casting process works, because you have some casting directors and producers that are more or less hands-on involved together in the process. I really love working with them. You know, they pull the people that they know, that they think are right for the part, some new people, sift through it, give us their top choices. And then we get to work with them. We like this, we don't like this, more of this, less of this. I see it as a very collaborative process. So for me, that's the kind of casting person I like to work with.
And just because when you're in an audition, they may give you a note. They may just say, well, can you, or they might ask you, can you do it this way? Can you do it that way? That does not mean that you're doing it bad. They're just asking, they want to see your versatility.
I see that actually as the opposite of bad. Yeah, we see something in the performance that's already happening that we like, we want to see more.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, because sometimes they say, okay, thank you. That's not always a good thing. Okay.
From the directing side, I really like when casting directors ask people to try different ways, because I want to see how they take direction.
Right.
So I prefer that a lot.
Absolutely. Mm. That's a good sign. Next question comes from Barbara from Roanoke, Virginia. You are all the way across the country. This is for Christine. Okay. At the beginning stages of a career in entertainment, what are the best and worst things about being... Oh, and then she just included, okay, producer, director, screenwriter, and actor. All right, why don't you just take one?
Well, I mean, or I'll just answer as entertainment industry career at the beginning stages.
There you go.
Because I think I can kind of do a little bit of an umbrella answer for that, because I think that one of the worst things about being at the beginning stages of your career in the entertainment industry is that there is not really a clear path laid out for you. It's not like when you are trying to be a doctor that you know you need to go to med school and you know you need to take the MCAT and everything that, you know, there are going to be obviously your own struggles there. But when you're trying to start in the entertainment industry, you can talk to a whole bunch of successful people, and they all have different stories about how they got there. And you can talk to two people who have done pretty much exactly the same things, and it worked for one person and it didn't work for the other person. So that is one of the very overwhelming and intimidating things about starting, is that you don't know what is going to work for you, and you can put in a lot of hard work and not necessarily see payoff at the beginning. But it definitely, one thing that caught me when I was first coming out and trying to start a career is that when I was, I'm a person who really thrives on deadlines and being accountable to somebody else. And when I was in school, I would always be a terrible procrastinator, but a great student because I would get everything done just at the last minute. But when you come out here and you are trying to start a career in the entertainment industry, you are the only person looking out for yourself. So you need to come up with a way that you stay accountable and you get things done. And there's always more to do. There's so much work to be done. And you really, like, one of the things that really helped me was starting an acting accountability group where I met with a group of actors every week and we set goals for the next week. And then the following week, we would follow up with each other and see what we had done from our goal list and also inspire each other to say, oh, well, you know, this person's doing headshot drop-offs this week, so I'm going to add that to my list, and really finding ways to keep being proactive.
Because in the end, Christine, you'll agree, you are a business. It's show business. And mm-hmm. a lot of actors come out here and they just want to focus on their craft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which it's a business. Too. I mean, mm-hmm. it's, yeah, but you've got to have that balance. Mm-hmm. You've got to.
Absolutely. I mean, and you do need to focus on your creativity and be good, you know, be in an acting class. Make sure that you really are prepared constantly, but you also need to treat yourself like you market yourself, and you treat your entire career like it is a business.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is. I'm sorry. We are almost out of time. I want to get two more questions in. I just realized there's another Roanoke person who sent me a question. I want to get that on the Roanoke, Virginia tour today. Chad from Roanoke, Virginia. He said, for all three guests, and again, we'll do this really briefly because we want to get some more questions. For all three guests, okay, if you want to be a screenwriter, director, and producer, which do you recommend starting first to get the best training to do short independent films? Allie, we'll start with you.
Well, I'll go. I mean, this is my opinion. I would say, or I would say producer, because honestly, whether you're a writer or an actor or whatever your desire is, you're going to end up producing your own stuff at some point. I think that's kind of just where things are at right now. You really have to take that initiative and just create. So I know a number of writers who are producing their own films. I know a number of actors as well, directors. You all have to get out there, hustle, you know, make film.
And especially when you first start out, you end up doing everything. You're the actor, the producer, director. You write the damn thing.
Get a hat rack because you're going to have a lot of them.
Yes. And then you get your parents to fund the money. So that's not unusual.
That's actually how I would have answered that question, is instead of picking one screenwriter, director, or producer, I would have said just get yourself on set however you could. You know, get yourself on set in any role. Maybe it's a PA, but watch people work who know what they're doing. And I think that's very valuable no matter what you're trying to do, even mm-hmm. as an actor. I think it helps to understand how every other job works. Yeah. As a director, it helps to know editing, because you're going to want to be able to communicate with the editor. As you know, you also want to know, a director should understand maybe what some actors do. You really want to understand how all different
and
roles
function. And don't rule out background acting. I always recommend going in and becoming a background actor, because you'd be amazed at the stuff you learn being a background actor.
And you the people you meet.
And the people you meet, because today's background actor or the next Steven Spielberg, possibly, maybe.
Hey, I was a background actor for years.
Yes, I loved it. I had some of the best times ever. Okay, so we have the last question, and this is from Charlie from Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Allie and Christine, I have been trying to produce my first short film, a 20-minute comedy, and I've only saved $5,000, and everyone says I won't be able to pull off a quality film and I should just wait and get at least $10,000 more. It took forever to save this much, and I just want to get the film done, but I don't want to waste my money on a crappy project. I want to spend my money wisely. Is it even possible to make a quality short film with that small amount of money? If so, how do I do it? We'll start with Allie.
So I'll say again, my opinion, somebody actually shared this with me a while ago, and I like it. There's sort of three things you're going to get: quality, speediness, time, or money. And you can't have all three. So
cheap, fast, good is the adage I know.
Good.
Cheap, fast, good, pick two.
Yep, exactly. Mm. So potentially you could, depending on who you know and what favors you can pull in, but it's going to take a longer time. I do applaud you for recognizing that you don't want to sacrifice quality, because I think that is key. It's a waste of your time and money if you get something that doesn't look professional.
And again, it really depends where you are making this film. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, I don't see why you can't make a damn film for $5,000. If you're in L.A., hell no.
Yeah, not in L.A.
I mean, you just get the film permits and the various things that you need, insurance, and that's going to be $5,000.
Well, it also depends how above the board you're mm-hmm. making the movie. Like, exactly. You know, for that amount of money, maybe if you're not paying anybody who's working on your set, but I feel like that's a very sad, when I hear about people making features for no money, I always feel like they're just bragging, like, yeah, that means I didn't pay anybody. Mm. I pulled in a lot of favors.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's possible. I mean, people can make money, can make movies for no money, but then you're doing it in locations that you already had access to and didn't get permits for.
You don't want to do anything guerrilla style. Believe me, there are some horror stories. Now, what's very interesting, I'm going to share really fast because we only have 5 minutes, but recently Albert, as a matter of fact, my husband told me that someone at the Sundance Film Festival, he submitted his film, it got accepted, and he didn't tell anyone how he made it. And when he told me, I said, no, he did not. And I thought, ooh, that's what I'm gonna do with my next film. That's it. He shot this whole film with three iPhone 6 Plus cameras. iPhone 5S. And it was top quality. It was, you couldn't even tell that it was shot on an iPhone. So I said, oh, yes, hell yes. So now it inspired me to go buy an iPhone 6 Plus.
Plus
so
I'm going to go guerrilla style.
Yeah, and you can that was one of the things he said in the interview. He went guerrilla style.
Is this interview brought to you by Apple by chance?
I don't know, Albert, was that? No. I know, you would think.
It made some commercials.
Yeah.
No, Apple made some commercials with an iPhone. However, this was an actual film.
That's incredible.
At the Sundance Film Festival. I think it was called Tangerine.
Yes, the name of the film, Tangerine. So look it up. But now everybody's going to be doing it and... Okay, so we only have 5 minutes to go. I'm going to do a couple questions. What are three characteristic traits needed to reach your goal as a continuous working producer, director, actor? And any of you can take it, Allie, Christine, or Puppet. Puppet, why don't we go with you? Do you know that?
Three characteristics.
Yeah, like you obviously have to you have to be patient. Right? You have to be...
Persistent.
Consistent.
Consistent.
Well, that's three words.
Patient, persistent, and consistent. There you go. Knocked it out. Oh, this is for Puppet. As a director, what are some of your... Oh, did we cover this?
Yeah.
Oh, with the... Okay, so... pet peeves about actors. We already said, don't get drunk and go in front of a puppet audition. Forget about it. All right. Puppet, what can an actor do that would make them memorable to you as a director so you'd want to work with them again? Again, no alcohol, no drugs. What else? Got to be something else, Puppet.
There's this great actor out here, Chance Harlem Jr.
Oh, my God. That's a friend of mine.
Yes.
No kidding. I love how... town is so small. It's wonderful.
Mine too. We'll have to tell him he's on this radio show.
What?
Of course he's listening right now, though, because
I know. Hey,
show.
Chance. What's up? So he actually was one of the leads in my first short film and in Pennsylvania. We shot in Philadelphia. And half of my crew and cast got obliterated at various times by this stomach virus that swept through the city. And so he got hit. But he came to set anyways, and he plowed through the work, and he kind of makes me sound like an awful director. But it was rough. It was rough, and he came anyways, and he gave it his best, and he was just a great guy to work with. He's really humble, and I loved working with him. And so I found out he was living in L.A., and we actually pulled him onto the shoot that Allie and I worked on.
Prison is a new popular.
Oh my God, I did
work with him again.
Cameo. Yay, Chance! Oh, my God! That's great.
Well, that actually, like, that is true, though. Like, it doesn't make you sound like an awful director, because one of my acting teachers actually always said, actors don't get sick. And it's not just because, it doesn't mean that we actually don't get sick, but it means you got it. The show goes on, even if you are ill, and you got to plow through with some adrenaline.
I want to do this question. Film permits are so expensive but necessary. What advice do you give to get reasonable rates on film permits and also on insurance? there, it's so expensive.
Yes.
So expensive.
Especially
to shoot
in
here.
Los Angeles. Definitely.
Like, we were paying on a fraction, I think, $1,500
yeah.
a day.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you guys going to do about, I mean, do you factor that into your, when
yeah,
you
break I mean, you have
the
to,
budget?
You have to
down?
Put budget.
It in the budget.
You have to put definitely. It in the budget. I feel like that's what gets you when you're making your first movie, not just in terms of permits, but a lot of things that you don't realize you need to put in your budget at the beginning. Usually I think of things in post that people forget to put in the budget, but mm-hmm. permits would be something in pre-production that people don't think about. I don't know about getting better rates. I mean, there are... Well,
pretty
for insurance,
yeah,
I guess, like, one way
that
you can get better rates is if you can piggyback on another
yeah,
production
nice
company's
loophole.
Insurance.
That's right. That's right. That's yeah. exactly what we did
little
for co-insurance. Fraction.
Co-insurance.
I want to get this one in. Now, some people choose Kickstarter. Some people choose Indiegogo for their fundraising campaigns. Now I lost my train of thought. She came to tell me that we're almost done, and now I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Okay. Lord have mercy. Okay, Kickstarter, Indiegogo. When people are asking for money, before they were saying, okay, I need $15,000 for my film project, right? And now what I'm seeing the trend being, they'll go, okay, I need $5,000 for pre-production. I need $5,000 for production. Why are they doing that now?
I would say that the reason why people are doing separate campaigns is because it's maybe easier for people to back your project if they already can see something. So when people do a campaign for post, you can already show them what you've managed to do during production, and you can, you know, show them some actual clips of the movie, and maybe people are more eager to back a project when they actually see what you're capable of. So yeah. I would say that's one reason that people choose to do that. But other people are still trying to do all of their fundraising up front, which is what we're trying to do with Seed and Spark for
so
Wedlocked.
We need money for Wedlocked the Movie. Go to the website. We are out of time. Wedlockthemovie.com. AllieEisenman.com is her website, and puppet-productions.com. I do not have Christine.
Ah, well, that would be ChristineMoore.net, because my name is too common.
Yeah.
And I'm Puppet, two T's.
Oh, yes. P-U-P-P-E-T-T.
Yes.
Puppet.
And Eisenman.
Production. And Allie Eisenman, AllieEisenman.com. Go to their website. Go to wedlockthemovie.com and donate. We do not have the website address for the crowdfunding campaign,
not
but they
yet.
Will give that to
not
me.
Not launched yet. It'll be on Wedlock the Movie, and we'll give it to you.
And yes,
blast.
And hopefully they'll mm-hmm. let me know, and I'll let you know, and promote the movie if you believe in it. It's a wonderful project. I want to thank Allie, Christine, and Puppet for coming on. We will find out about Wedlocked. Follow the crowdfunding, be a part of it, and then hopefully we'll get somebody who'll get invited to the screening.
Of course, and please share with your friends. That's the biggest help you can do, is just
share
the information.
Share. Yes. Okay, thank you guys.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.